This is the Unconquered Podcast on Seminole Sports Radio, part of the VSporto Network, bringing you all Noles all the time.
In Florida State, we won national championships and ACC championships.
Back to the basics, consistency in what we're doing. Guys getting rolled banged and bruised, working a bunch of different situations, making progress.
You have to have success, so you know something, I can really do this.
You're listening to the Unconquered Podcast on Seminole Sports Radio, part of the VSporto Network. I'm your host, Jason Staples, and I'm joined today by Wayne McGahee III from NoleDigest.com. We got a big show. We're going to be talking about Florida State recruiting during Miami weekend, the biggest recruiting weekend of the regular season. Lots to talk about today. Lots of big-time visitors from both the 2016, 2017, and 2018 classes. A lot of breakdowns, so let's go ahead and get to it. First of all, Wayne, thank you for joining us.
Glad to be here, Jason.
So let's go ahead and start then talking about the about where things stand with Florida State recruiting-wise. And it seems like every year, it's like clockwork, right around this time every year, and there's like two lulls, but every year, right around this time, you get a lot of fans saying, you know, with the whole woe is us, like what's happening to Florida State recruiting? We're going to have a terrible class. Every year about this time, because it seems like Florida State's losing steam in the recruiting game, and then people start to call different staff, you know, whatever staff member is the whipping boy of the year becomes, you know, this person needs to recruit better or they need to replace this person. It seems like that happens about this time every year, and then there's usually one more, and that's another month or two down the line where that same thing happens. It just seems like that's the way it works with the Fisher-style class. In any case, why don't you catch us up a little bit with where things are on the recruiting front as of right now?
Well, I think the from the last time I was on, Florida State got a commitment from Nasir Upshur, tight end four-star out of Philadelphia. A really big fan of the kid. He's not nearly as good as Isaac Knott is, but he's a lot more physical, and he's going to just be – he's an absolute animal as a blocker. So I'm a big fan of this kid. And then Florida State just got a defensive tackle commitment, Wolvinski Aime. Which,
yeah.
We're not sure if that's the right way to pronounce it.
We do know, though.
Get in touch with him at this point. But he's 6'5", 285, plays defensive tackle, can play defensive end. And what's interesting about the kid is I looked up his high school scout profile to find out what he was ranked. And he was non-ranked because he was a 6'3", 212-pound tight end.
You know, those kind of guys, the last guy I know of that was kind of like that coming out of high school who came to Florida State then and became a defensive lineman, you know what his name was?
Who?
Andre Wadsworth. He was about 210 pounds and walked on at Florida State, if you remember.
Yep.
Coming out of high school was really nothing. And all of a sudden, by his senior year, that guy was a 282-pound monster. I don't know that I've ever seen a better college defensive end than what Dre Wadsworth was as a senior. Maybe Clowney, maybe. But Dre Wadsworth as a senior was a monster.
I'll take Bullware the year before, but that's semantics.
Yeah, well, Bullware was great. And as a pass rusher, maybe I'll give you that. But Dre was you know, Bullware was like 250 pounds.
Yeah, went Dre, on to play linebacker for the Ravens.
Yeah, Dre, and he was a pretty good linebacker, but Dre was 280 pounds doing that stuff. Anyway.
Oh, I completely understand.
Anyway, not saying that, and apparently this Wolvinski Aime guy goes by Wally, as you mentioned to me off air, so we're just going to call him Wally. I'm not saying Wally's going to turn into Dre Wadsworth now, but he does have a good offer sheet for a JUCO kid. A number of programs that have had success mining the JUCO ranks, and he was a Miami commit before. So, you know, and I went back and I looked at his tape. You know, and there's not a whole lot out there yet. And he certainly looks the part on the hoof. I'll just say that. And he's super raw. But physically, I think the guy that he may remind me of the most is actually Derek Mitchell. Now, you know, that's not super high praise, but that's not bad either, because Derek Mitchell has been a contributor now for two solid years, and may have been more of a contributor had he not constantly been injured. So, you know, you're looking at a guy who's at least going to, you know, he's got 3 years to play three. You're looking at a guy that can come in and contribute pretty early.
Yeah, I mean, the 3 years to play three is a really big deal.
And an early enrollee.
Yep, early enrollee. So Florida State's got something, you know, got something there. He grew up in Boca, loved Florida State growing up. It was the offer that he wanted, and he jumped on it. So, you know, I don't have a bad word to say about the kid. Obviously, there's not much film on him, so we're getting a very raw player. I mean, he gained 70 pounds and grew 2 inches in the year or two that he's been out. So he's completely new to the defensive side of the ball, and it's just we don't know what we're getting there, but the staff obviously liked him enough to take him.
Yeah, and you got to, at this point, trust the staff's ability to evaluate players. And one of the things, again, at that position, the most important thing is to have bodies, to have enough athletic bodies. I mean, you get enough guys who look the part on the hoof and can move, and, you know, you're going to get, with Odell Hagans coaching that position group, you're going to get success. Now, going back, actually, to the tight end situation, you're right, without a doubt, that Isaac Nauta is the most college ready. He's the best tight end in the country, without question. But this Nasir Upshur kid that Florida State got, if you're not going to get Nauta, the interesting thing about Upshur is that because he's so physical, which is something, Nauta's not quite as physical, like you mentioned, because he's so physical and because because of that kind of mentality and his athletic measurables, his upside is actually maybe in the same kind of range. You know, he's not going to step on campus. Nauta is going to step on campus day one, ready to contribute as a pass receiver at the tight end position. And not just contribute, be a good one.
Correct.
Upshur's not that, but he's a guy that'll step on campus right away and be able to block. And he has nice upside as a tight end and as a receiver. I mean, that shows on film. He's got the tools. So, if you're not going to get Nauta, this is a pretty good kid to get in your class. I mean, ideally, you'd like to have both, but, you know, this is a guy that fits really well with what Fisher wants to do. I mean, Fisher down the line would really like to run a lot of 12 tight personnel, go one back, two tights, and that sort of thing, and move these guys around. And this guy fits in that. In any case, let's go ahead then and get to discussion of the Miami visit weekend, which I don't think there's any question. This, until the season is over, this is the biggest in-season visit weekend Florida State's going to have in terms of the talent coming on campus, and obviously the atmosphere and all that is big time. This is a showcase weekend. And the other thing is, this being an 8 o'clock game, Florida State's going to have more time to spend with some of these top level guys during the day than when you have a noon or a 3:30 game.
So this
is a huge weekend. Why don't you get us caught up on what we can expect from and who Florida State's bringing in, and what can we can expect from this recruiting weekend?
You know, like you said, this is the most important weekend. This home game, or Florida, depending on the year, is always the biggest home game. But this one, prime time, this is going to be the biggest recruiting impact of the season. There are 10 to 15 kids coming in on officials, and only one of them is a three-star. That's just the amount of talent that's coming in. So,
yeah, let's go down that list a little bit. I mean, this, you know, the Florida-Tennessee visit weekend was a big deal for the Florida program, in particular because they won that in exciting fashion, and the Swamp was obviously, you know, was juiced that night. But this weekend, this is serious stuff here. I mean, these are some players. So
Florida State's bringing in a lot of kids from out of state too. This is going to, they're on the officials. This is their one chance to really impress them. A night game, Doak's going to be rocking, but you have guys like Brandon Burton, safety, linebacker Dontavious Jackson from Houston, Keon Joyner from North Carolina, Landon Dickerson. You've got those guys coming in.
Yeah, and remind it, Landon Dickerson, tell us a little bit more about Dickerson in particular. Dickerson and Joyner, I think, stick out on that list especially.
Yeah, Dickerson, Joyner, and Jackson are three immediate takes right now. Florida State would take all three
no doubt
on the spot if they wanted to commit. Dickerson is the highest-ranked offensive lineman on the board. Florida State's only taking one more, and they absolutely love the kid. They will wait down to signing day to see if they can land this kid. They think he's that good.
And who's the competition for Dickerson again? Remind us.
You've got Bama. You've got Virginia Tech. You've got – I mean – there's a whole bunch of schools, but right now, Florida State, there's Auburn. Florida State feels like they're going to get a visit. They're getting an official visit out of them, and they feel like they really have a shot at landing this kid.
And again, he's a North Carolina kid. You know, that's ACC country. That's the one area where, you know, again, if you're going against Bama, and if you're Florida State and you're going against Bama, you want to be going against Bama in your backyard, not theirs. Right,
absolutely.
You're not going to pull a kid out of Louisville or out of Louisiana and Alabama and so on. Very rarely are you going to get those kids, but this is a kid that Florida State should get. It's a North Carolina kid. That's ACC country. This is a kid who's used to Florida State being the dominant fish in that territory coming through.
Yep. So they feel good.
Same
about
with Keon Joyner.
Keon Joyner, who has family in LSU. LSU is the main competition here. Joyner's an interesting case. His home life is not something that you'd want, a situation that you'd want anyone that you even know to be in. So you have to be very careful with that. But
yeah, he just got kicked off of his high school team, I believe.
Yes, he was kicked off his high school team. That's not the first time he's been kicked off, but we'll just not go into that. He's a big-time talent. I don't want to overstep my boundary there.
Well,
he's
from
a
what I understand, it was a minor thing, actually.
What's that?
From what I understand, it was a minor thing. The information that I got up here from that was that that basically it was a slap boxing situation in the hallway, and one of the participants stopped taking it as much of a joke. So you know that happens.
Yeah, he'd been kicked off prior to the season starting, then got put back on. So he was on a. He was on a short leash, but then you've got Dontavius Jackson, and Florida State hasn't pulled a kid out of the state of Texas that Texas or Texas A&M wanted in almost a decade. So I was very hesitant to put Dontavius Jackson on my recruiting board. I broke down and did it today. Tim Brewster has done a fantastic job. He has put Florida State right in the mix for this, and I don't know if Florida State leads, but they're pretty damn close to it.
Yeah, the kid's been kind of salty about this too. I mean, he seems to there are certain signs you can see from kids in terms of whether they're serious about this. And this kid has seemed serious about being willing to leave the state of Texas. And boy, I tell you what, in terms of what he brings to the table, he is you know, he's almost 250 pounds coming out. I mean, he's a different,
true middle linebacker.
Yeah, he's a different kind of linebacker than what Florida State has. I mean, I'm not interesting thing is how he fits in what they want to do and whether or not he ends up doing some hybrid stuff, whether they put him on the edge sometimes, whether they move him around. But he's a guy that can definitely play in the box, but he moves well enough to cover. So, you know, again, a guy that's, like you said, an immediate take. So that's three. Let's go down the list.
I mean, then you've got five-star defensive tackle Shavar Manuel. Finally made the move to defensive tackle, so you know, Florida State doesn't, you know, don't have to worry about what position you're going to play him at. He moved to defensive tackle.
That's where his home was anyway.
Getting him back on campus is absolutely huge. Florida State had faded with him. He hadn't been on campus since the spring game.
And this so, the good thing for this is that this is actually an unofficial for Manuel.
Yes, it is.
So
it
and
is
that
an
that's actually
they will get an official,
and that's a big deal because they're going to get an official with him later.
Yes,
but getting him on campus for an unofficial here, where you're still able to meet with the kid, where you're still able to have him go through a lot of the standard stuff with coaches. I mean, he's still going to be in the coaches' offices and all that. And they're still going to put a good pitch with him and spend the time with him and help reassure him of some of the things that were some concerns that caused Florida State to slip. And then he gets to be in that environment in a Florida State-Miami game. That's a big deal to get him on campus for this.
Absolutely. And then you've got, you're bringing in the two defensive ends that Florida State are recruiting the most. You're bringing in Antonius Clayton and Brian Burns. Clayton's from Georgia. Auburn is the big leader at that point. Well, Auburn and Florida. He was in the swamp for the Florida-Tennessee game and, you know, came away, says Florida is leader. I would still bet that Auburn is the most
Auburn
likely.
Back in that.
Yeah. But Brian Burns, Georgia leads for him, but he might be the best defensive end in the state. I absolutely love the kid. He was one of the best defensive ends at the opening, shot up the rankings, and he's been very good so far this season. Then you've got the wide receiver position. Both Keith Gavin and Nate Craig, both who Florida State felt really good about 2 months ago and have been slipping. Gavin obviously decommitted. And Alabama leads at that point, but getting both of them on campus is pretty big.
And actually getting them both on campus for unofficial visits at the same time. You know, I wonder how that may actually help a little bit. Because again, you know, what you want is those guys actually taking a liking to each other and wanting to be in the same receiver seg in the same place.
Yep.
So, you know, that's where this is a big deal. And then along with them, you have others.
Yeah, you've got Trayvon Mullen. Obviously, I know you're a big fan of his.
Oh,
one of the top cornerbacks on the board.
He is smooth, and I love his length.
Florida State's leading at this point. LSU, you know, was thought to be the leader for a long period of time, but they screwed that up when they kicked one of his buddies off the team. I'm not saying that they should have kicked him off, but.
Or that they shouldn't have.
They shouldn't have kicked him off. I mean, he absolutely deserved to be kicked off, but the byproduct of that was one less obstacle for Florida State to jump through, because LSU players that they've recruited out of, you know, South Florida have not been particularly good at LSU. Like three or four of them have been either been kicked off or left the school on their own over the past 2 to 3 years. And then you get into the 2017 and 2018 kids. I mean, you've got Malik Gray, who I think should be a top five player in the country. I don't know why he's not. He's the best safety in the country.
Yeah, he's almost a Jalen Ramsey-type athlete coming out. I mean, he's not the track kind of athlete, but he's that, you know, he's a kid that's, boy, he's going to be impressive.
One of my favorites, defensive back, four-star, Jameis Williams. You know, short kid, not short. He's small. He's around 5'10", 5'11". But, man, the kid can ball. Then you've got Stanford Samuels coming in, Vandarius Cohen.
Yeah, these are 2017 kids. And, by the way, you haven't even gotten to some of the commits, the Florida State commits that are in this class. Levante Taylor is there, and he's a guy they want there with this group. Because he's a guy passionate recruiter for Florida State, and a guy that could potentially pull a couple of these kids, and maybe and probably the best defensive back recruit in the country in the 2016 class, Josh Brown from North Carolina, Josh Ball, the offensive tackle who should be a five star. He's a four star on scout, but he should be a five star offensive tackle recruit from Virginia. Malik Henry, the quarterback commit. Jamal Couch, the kid that I really, really like, the linebacker from Alabama. You've got a bunch of these kids. Janarius Robinson's coming in for an unofficial. You've got a lot of these kids that are coming in that are commits that are also the guys that you want with this group to bring them in. And you know, again, you get Keith Gavin and Nate Craig on the same visit with Malik Henry. Again, you're trying to get those guys to spend some time together so that they decide, you know, I'd rather catch passes from Malik Henry than whoever else is going to be there. But anyway, let's get into the 2017. Like you said, Malik Gray, kid that you and I both agree is probably a top 20 player in the class of 2017.
I think he should
overall.
Be top five.
Yeah. I mean,
he's phenomenal.
He's an incredible player.
Yes.
Stan Samuels the third.
Yeah. Jameis Williams, you know, the only underclassman to be named to the All-Open team. Kid plays a lot bigger than he is. Reminds me so much of Greg Reed. Just that type of mentality. He's the alpha dog of alpha dogs. He doesn't care about that. I love the kid. I can talk about him all day.
The bottom line is if they landed those three defensive backs, Malik Gray, Jameis Williams, and Stanford Samuels III, that's already probably the best class anybody's going to land in 2017.
And then you're also going to land a top 50 player in Cyrus Fagan,
yeah,
who so, grew up loving so you know, at safety. So
you take those four guys right there, and you can walk away with the best defensive back class in the country, and there's still a couple others that may want in. That
for
are,
the second
that are,
straight
higher,
year, yeah. If Florida State lands Mullen.
Unbelievable. So, you know, anybody, by the way, that's saying that Charles Kelly should be dismissed, wow, they're killing it at that defensive back position to play for that guy. But anyway.
Yeah, and then you also have wide receiver Jerry Jeudy, four-star wide receiver from South Florida. I absolutely love the kid. I think he is actually would be better on the defensive side of the ball. I got to see him at a 7-on-7, and he was just awesome on defense. He was the offense had Benjamin Victor and a couple of other highly rated offensive players, so he was playing on defense mostly, and he just lit it up. So I'm a big fan of that kid. And you've got in 2018, you got four-star quarterback Joey Gatewood, who is Florida State's primary target. Big arm, just runs well. I mean, he's
good prospect. Good prospect.
Yeah, very good prospect.
So you know, and then you've got a few basketball visitors, but you know, beyond that, you know, I think at this point we need to get into
the basketball visitors though. I know basketball comes second.
The one other football guy that I would mention is that 2017 offensive tackle Calvin Ashley, who is probably the top target on the offensive line board for Florida State, but presently committed elsewhere, Auburn, as I recall.
Yes.
And I think ultimately Florida State gets back in and probably gets this kid. And having him again on campus for this unofficial visit here is a big deal.
He committed to Auburn very early on a visit. I would be very surprised if Florida State wasn't back in the hunt with Ashley after the visit. And I would be I won't say I will be shocked because this is recruiting and anything can happen. But I'm very skeptical that Florida State doesn't land him.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll see. I think he probably is in that class eventually. But right now it's just a big deal to make sure that he's back on campus for a good environment. So you wanted to mention the basketball visitors, obviously five-star power forward, Jonathan Isaac, who's a Florida State commit, is the headliner there, but you've got a couple others.
Yeah, you've got Udoko Azubuike and Dwayne Hull. Azubuike is if you follow Florida State basketball, you know Florida State's had a very poor run with centers over the past few years since Solomon Alabi left, and you've got a bunch of big guys, big tall guys. Well, this kid is 6'11". About 250 pounds, and actually can play the game of basketball.
Yeah, he's actually skilled.
Yes, he is a skilled center, and Florida State has a very, very good chance with him.
And you put him in that class with Isaac and the others that they've already got committed, and it's a top five, arguably, class.
It's already a top five class with Isaac, Trent Forrest, and C.J. Walker. But you land Azubuike and Dwayne Hull, who it's
you land both
it's
also, those guys. You're
this is an interesting
three.
Dynamic is that Hull is coming down to Florida State and Miami. So, but he's really good friends with Isaac. He's going to pick one of the two. If Florida State lands Hull and Azubuike to go along with what they have, it could end up being the number one class in the country.
Yeah, it's top three at least at that point. So it's crazy to think about, but Florida State basketball recruiting wise is setting up now that for the next two or three years to be very competitive in the ACC and beyond, really. I mean, that things have kind of turned the corner a little bit. You know, I thought after they didn't get Wiggins a few years ago that was just kind of the last best hope for Florida State's program to hit the big time, but it looks like I was wrong. In any case, that's going to do it for us today here on Seminole Sports Radio. This has been the Unconquered Podcast. Just once again, I want to remind you that you can follow me on Twitter at Doc Staples. You can, of course, follow Wayne McGahee III at Wayne McGahee III. And, of course, Seminole Sports Radio at Seminoles Radio for the latest on FSU sports. And, of course, after the Miami game, check in with Wayne and me on NoleDigest.com for an update on all of the recruiting stuff that will have happened on this weekend. We'll go ahead and cover some of that as well in a special post-Miami recruiting podcast early next week. I'm Jason Staples. This has been the Unconquered Podcast on Seminole Sports Radio, a part of the BeSporter Network. Thanks for listening. I made this.